guys, welcome to another Finished Work Eschatology vlog, vlog 13. We subtitle this Unsealing the Sealed. I want to deal with a verse from Matthew 24. We are in the 15th verse specifically as we go chronologically through this chapter. And I want to deal with a keystone passage in the understanding of eschatology, and that is the dealing of the abomination of desolation, or the abomination that makes desolate. I call it keystone because if you go over this too quickly, or you go over this through a lens of a future event, trying to fit, this might not be fair, but trying to fit the square peg of modern day events into the round hole of Bible prophecy, you're going to grow frustrated, and it's not going to take long to start to find confusion in the passages. So I want to deal with this. I don't think you should overlook it, and I also don't think it should be handled quickly. I think we should take our time. That's why, although I'm going to deal with unsealing the seal today, I also want to point out that over the next several weeks, I'll deal with the abomination of desolation in parts. So there's no way that we'll finish the abomination of desolation next week, maybe even not the next week, because there's a lot of Old Testament, a lot of historical record, and then a lot of bringing it into the new. Let's start with the text. Matthew 24:15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. We're going to deal, as I said, with the abomination of desolation over the next several vlogs. I want to work this verse for today's vlog backwards, in that I want to start at the end. And something you'll notice at the end is the only place that you'll see this in the 24th chapter after the 4th verse. And that's words written in black. Now, what that means is that the translators took the words by Jesus and they had them in red. But then the words that they thought were added, or not added, but were written by the author, not as a direct quote, they put those in black. So for instance, verse 4, then Jesus answered and said to them, those words are in black. And then, take heed that no one deceives you, of course, that's red, Jesus is talking. So in verse 15, it's all written in red, it's Jesus talking, until you get to the parenthetical, where the parentheses open and close around the phrase, whoever reads, let him understand. And this is Matthew, the writer, saying to his audience, whoever reads, let him understand. Whoever reads what? He is speaking about what Jesus was telling his audience to read. And if you'll reread that verse, you'll see what his audience was being instructed to go and read. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. And so Daniel spends considerable time on the abomination of desolation. So will we in coming weeks. But before we do that, I want to deal with the fact that Jesus tells them to find out what Daniel said. That's number one. Number two, Matthew knew that his audience would find that fascinating, that Jesus was referencing Daniel. And he says, whoever reads, let him understand. And the reason why his audience would have found it fascinating is because everyone who studied what we call the Old Testament knew that the words and the prophecies of Daniel were sealed up. They were not common knowledge. They were not talked about all the time. And here's why. Daniel chapter 12, I want to begin reading in the first verse, and I want to show you something about the book of Daniel that is crucial to Matthew 24 and the timing of the end days. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book Now that's verse 1 of Daniel 12. So Michael is overseeing a great event, and there's going to be a time of trouble, but the people will be delivered. What people will be delivered? It looks like on the surface the Jewish people, your heritage, your family, but he says everyone who's found written in the book. Revelation will pick up the same theme and talk about those written in the Lamb's Book of Life, talking about the church, those redeemed by the blood, talking about Christians. Now, what some have done is put this in our future as if it's an event in which those who receive Christ will be spared. But I think we can show you in Matthew 24, correlated with this topic from Daniel 12, that Jesus proclaimed this to be in the disciples' timeline. And so the people who would be delivered from whatever was coming would be those who were written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. So Daniel is specifically told, shut up your book and seal it until the time of the end. It's not to be understood until the time of the end. Then in Matthew 24:15, Jesus literally tells his audience to pay attention to what Daniel said. And Matthew comes in words written in black and says on top of it, for those of you who read it, understand it. Well, understand what? That the sealed book of Daniel is being unsealed in the time of the disciples. But that's not all. Down in verses 8 and 9 from Daniel chapter 12, the text says this, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And then Jesus, in Matthew 24, unseals those words at the time of the end. Is it possible that in Revelation chapter 5, when John the Revelator is in heaven and there's weeping because no one can be found to unseal the scroll, and then the Lamb, who appears as a lamb that was slain, stands up and arises and unseals the scroll. John wants the scroll unsealed. He wants whatever is in there to come to pass, to come to fruition. Is it possible that Jesus, in Revelation 5, the only one with the power and the authority to unseal the scroll, begins the unsealing process in Matthew chapter 24 when he unseals the mysteries of the book of Daniel? Now, granted, Jesus doesn't go into a verse-by-verse, blow-by-blow commentary on the book of Daniel. He's going to allow the Holy Spirit to develop that in his audience. But I think the point's been made about the sealing of Daniel. Now, I want to reiterate something that we said in one of our very early vlogs, because it resurfaces here, and we'll do that again from time to time as things resurface. Daniel is just 500 years before Christ. And his book is sealed until the time of the end. About 5 centuries later, Jesus unseals it and says, hey, read it, because this stuff, some of that stuff that happened then is going to happen now. That was about 500 years, and that was considered by God to be a long time between Daniel and Jesus. And then comes Revelation chapter 22. At the end of the book of Revelation, I know we've went over this before, but it's worth saying again. Verse 10, the angel said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So John is not even allowed to seal up the book of Revelation, because it's going to happen so soon after he's done writing that he's not allowed to set it aside. It needs to stay open. So I want to ask you this, and I'm not being snarky. for those who feel like all of this stuff has to be happening in our future, or that CNN or Fox News or the newspaper or the internet is reporting events that can slide into Bible times, how is it that Daniel is told to seal his book because it's not time, the end is not near? And 500 years later, Jesus unseals it in Matthew 24. And that's a long time. And then in Revelation 22, Revelation is not allowed to be sealed because it's about to happen. And we're 2,000 years later, and some people are still putting its events in our current events. That's four times the distance between Daniel and Jesus and Revelation and you and me. So I don't want to belabor that point, but I think it's made obvious again that both books, Daniel and Revelation, and Matthew 24 as well, are speaking of the end, and that end was something that was relevant in the lives of the early church and the lives of disciples. So we will use the book of Daniel as we journey to help us interpret and understand Matthew chapter 24. Let's talk for just a second about some of the things you'll hear in futurist or dispensational theology. These were very common, very, very common teaching points in my futurist days, and dispensational days. There's the teaching that the Jews are going to rebuild their temple, that there will be a man rise up out of the east that will be known as the Antichrist, and he will rule the world, that there will be a time of great tribulation, and in the middle of that, this Antichrist figure will enter into the newly built temple where there have been animal sacrifices going on. He will set up an idol in the middle of that temple, and that idol is called the Abomination of Desolation. I recently did a meeting. I won't say where, but I was doing a meeting, and I mentioned some of these things in my sermon. I don't do too much of that in live preaching, but I was in a place where I was asked to do it. And I introduced a few of the concepts of the kingdom and how we're living in the kingdom, and I just questioned some things. I didn't go too deep. And a woman came to me afterwards, and she said, "Well, how do you deal with the scriptures?" She said, "You know, the Bible clearly says that the Jews are going to rebuild their temple. The Bible says in Revelation that the Antichrist is going to rise up, and there's going to be a one world government. The Bible says," she went on and on, "the Bible says, the Bible says." And when she finished, I said, "Ma'am, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, and I don't want to hurt your feelings." I said, "But there was nothing that you just said that's actually in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that the Jews are going to rebuild their temple." I said, "You only assume that they're going to rebuild their temple because there's a temple in the book of Revelation, but there's no temple over there now. So rather than us putting the book in a day time, in a day and period in which there was a temple, we just assume there has to be a new one rebuilt." I said, "That's caused a lot of strife in Palestine and Jerusalem because the Muslims have the Dome of the Rock in the very spot that Christians think Jews want a temple. And so there's this ongoing battle to remove, by Christians, to remove that temple so Jews can rebuild a temple so they can fulfill scriptures that aren't even scripture, because the book of Revelation never says that the Antichrist is going to come in. In fact, the word Antichrist is never used in the book of Revelation. We're scared of one world governments, chips and debit cards and all those things, because we've been accustomed to believing that the world has to become a place that can be managed by one person so that we can enter the time of the end, and then we're going to find this abomination of desolation." Again, I don't want to bust any bubbles, but nothing that I just said to you is in the scriptures. It's not there. We cut and paste this little passage and this little passage, and put this together and this together to come up with this idea that does not exist in the Bible. The Bible is far more clear that those in the time of the Word were in the end of some sort of era, the end of an age, the end of the world, and that the scriptures that were given to them in regards to those events were not for people generations down the road on the other side of the globe, but were for the people that they were spoken to. Let me ask you this. How would you receive it if a preacher got up, or a pastor, a quote-unquote prophet or apostle, and they began to prophesy that God was going to destroy the world by flood, and that you needed to build an ark, and you needed to march animals into it, and God, and they said, "This stuff's in the Bible, man." Now you would say, "This guy's kooky, because he's preaching fulfilled prophecy. He's granted, he's in the Bible, He's using Scripture. Just because you use Scripture doesn't mean you use Scripture properly. But how would you feel about that? Well, you would say, well, that's silly, Pastor, because the Bible very clearly says, a lot of people always say, whatever it is they believe, they always say the Bible very clearly says. They say the Bible very clearly says that God's not going to do that again. So if someone's prophesying it now, they're late. Well, let me say this to you, and I'm not going to preface it with the Bible clearly says. Don't expect a repetition of fulfilled prophecy. If there's been prophecy fulfilled in the Word, don't expect that because it's in the Word, God is going to re-fulfill it. Fulfill it a second time, a third time, a fourth time. It's a bad assumption because it's bad. It's a bad interpretation of Scripture to take a fulfilled prophecy and then assume that because it was in the Bible, it'll be fulfilled again. That's the cause of a lot of confusing preaching and teaching based upon Old Testament. They'll take things where God says in the Old Testament, and they'll say, you know what, I know God did it right there, but I'm telling you what, God's going to do it again. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they just took like three different passages and kind of Frankenstein them all together into one verse to convince someone that if God did it then, he's going to do it again, and they don't have any concept of fulfilled prophecy or any concept of covenant. So you would not take that preacher seriously. Why are we taking seriously those who take fulfilled prophetic scripture and put it in our present and put it in our future? We're only insulting ourselves, and we're doing a disgraceful job of interpreting the scripture. So let's get in three bullet points as I close it out today. First of all, Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, Jesus says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, he was not talking to you or me, he was talking to the same men that asked him the question, when will be the end of the ages? So he says, you're going to see the abomination of desolation. And the things that he lays out coming up are going to be what they need to do when they see that. So first of all, the disciples would see the abomination of desolation, not you. Number two, the Jewish people understood the abomination, the phrase abomination, as it pertained to both the temple and Jerusalem. Over the next few weeks, we're going to use both Old Testament references and extra-biblical references to show you the Jewish understanding of abomination of desolation. But their own history, in December of 168 BC, Antiochus Epiphanes goes into the temple and sacrifices a pig on the altar in the temple to the god Zeus in mockery of the God of Israel. And Daniel called that the abomination of desolation. Jesus takes Daniel's reference to an event and says, you're going to see an abomination of desolation also. Daniel talked about it. You're going to see one. And so that was going to happen in their lifetime, and they had perfect awareness of what that phrase meant. And thirdly and finally, Jesus pointing back to that event, which they had a historical reference point for, then translates that into their life. And because he's Jesus and he has the right of prophecy, he's what Moses would call a prophet, he prophesies that that's going to happen within the time frame of the disciples. And so, basically, the review of today, Jesus unsealed the sealed book of Daniel. And by doing so, is saying, by unsealing it, telling them to read it, and then by saying, Daniel told you about the abomination of desolation, I say you're going to see that abomination of desolation, he's starting that conversation that Daniel is dealing with times and seasons that you, the disciples, are going through, not you, the watcher of this vlog. And so then when you take that and you put it into the understanding of the New Testament writers, including the book of Revelation, you get a much better idea. Next week, we're going to talk about the abomination of desolation, and we'll probably subtitle it Abomination of Desolation Part 1. And then we'll go, because it's going to take several weeks, there's just a load of material I'm very excited about getting into it. I hope that you have a great week. God bless you.